morning. As I prepared a message for this morning, two pictures came into my mind. The message I'm going to share to encourage myself and also all of us is knowing Jesus. When I prepared this message, I pray, the two pictures came into my mind. One is my own people back in Malaysia. You know, my own people, they migrate from mainland China to Malaysia, part of the Malaysia. All of us were supposed to be Christian because those migration basically happened in a church. So what I heard, what I understood is, you know, all those migrate from mainland China to this area of Malaysia, all were Christian. And then after almost 100 years, I can see a lot of so-called Christians go to church without knowing Jesus. That is the picture that struck my heart. How can it be? Those so-called Christians going to church and not knowing Jesus. Or maybe they don't really care about Jesus. They say, I'm a Christian. But you can listen to their conversation, their life, daily life. You don't see any influence, anything to do with Jesus. Sometimes that really hurt me a lot. And the second picture was, when I was in Africa, I love to show the film called Jesus. You know the film called Jesus? You know, taken from Luke. And it was very well done by the Abraham and his group of ministry. And I showed this film maybe more than 50 times with 8 different languages. Every time I show the video Jesus, especially when, you know, Jesus started teaching. You know, if you look at Matthew, it's from chapter 5 onward. If you look at Luke, also, you know, you'll find Jesus start teaching and then he start performing miracles. Every time when I show the video, I saw my friend Aliu sitting at the front row. He is an Arab young man, not believer. I mean, he is a Muslim. But he was so amazed. The teaching of Jesus is so different, so powerful. Every time he just stand his eye and look at Jesus and listen every word that Jesus is saying in a movie. And I just compare this to my own people in Malaysia. I felt like something wrong. You see, Jesus is so powerful. He has authority. He is God. You know, even non-believers recognize it. What happened to Christian? What happened? So I would like to encourage all of us, you know, to pay attention to the Word of God this morning. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and 29. If you have Bible, please. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. They recognize Jesus' teaching is with authority. It's with authority. You know, I pray that every time when we open the Bible, we read the Word of God, we see who Jesus is. We see his authority, his teaching. After I read the Bible so many years, you know, especially the whole gospel, when I read about the teaching of Jesus, what he said, what he had done, you know, I was amazed all the time. I said, I should know this. But somehow, you know, it just slipped my mind and not really remember it. And that when I read the Word of God one more time or again and again, and then just every time I was brought before the Lord and understand and see that he is the one who has authority. He is not like just a usual person, normal person. He is not like the authority that we recognize in this world, those political authority, power, or those people in a higher position. But Jesus' teaching is very different, because his teaching is with authority. Can we remember anything, any word of God that struck you, and you say that this is God's word with authority? We need to remind ourselves who Jesus is. And then again, when I read Matthew, we see that Matthew chapter 8, because in the Chinese I'm teaching chapter 8 all the way to chapter 10 in this coming three months. Yeah. So when I read the incidents, the miracles that Jesus had performed from chapter 8 onward, and then I remember the question that was asked in the prison. I'm not sure if you remember, there was a very important question. It was asked in the prison. What happened? Matthew chapter 11 verse 2, maybe to 3, that's the question, and then 4 to 6 is the answer. What is the question? The question was Matthew chapter 11 verse 2. When John, that's John the Baptist, when John heard in prison what Jesus was doing, he sent his disciple to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" That was the question. Why he was so concerned about who Jesus is? Why doesn't he care about Jesus? Of course, John the Baptist, from the very beginning, he already saying, "I'm opening the way for the one who comes." And he knows that that's Jesus. But he wants to be sure, because he was following the truth until he was put in jail. He wants to be very sure. Is it worth? Is it the right way? Am I doing the right thing? So he asked, maybe he has some doubt also, because he may have some expectation that he didn't see from Jesus. But whatever reason, he asked the question. When the question was asked and the answer was given by Jesus, chapter 11, verse 4 and 5 or 6, Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, and the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." Just go on and on, you realize that from chapter 8, 9, and chapter 10, Jesus had performed several miraculous things. And those miraculous things in Jesus' response is to prove that who he is. Is to prove that who he is. So, brother and sister, who is Jesus in our life? Who is Jesus? If we are searching, if we are after the so-called miracles, then we miss the point. Of course, miracles is important. But the miracle itself points us to Jesus and telling us he is the one that God has promised. That is the main thing in the Word of God here. So he is Messiah, he is Christ, he is the promised one. He is the one that God said that he will come and save us, redeem us. That is Jesus Christ. We need to be reminded all the time, whenever we see a miracle, we should be reminded that, yes, Jesus is the one that God has promised, and I want to trust in him. Miracles happen everywhere. I drive to church this morning, I saw a miracle. Why? Leaves start changing color. And people say, well, those are natural things. Nature is miracle that happen frequently, become natural thing. If you never seen it, then you know there's something different. Those people from Malaysia, tropical area, there is no summer, no fall, no spring, no winter. And then when we come over here, the first time we saw the leaves change, we were so struck. So beautiful. How can God do this? So beautiful. Okay, to you people, you say, well, we see every year. Because the miracle you have seen so often, it becomes a natural thing. Remember, when we see something, then those things should point us to Jesus, the one who loves us, the one who is for us, the one God sent. So this is so important. It's so important. And again, Matthew chapter 8, verse 8 and 9. Chapter 8, verse 8 and 9. In my point 3 here, saying He is the Lord. He is the Lord. We need to remember. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. This is the faith of the centurion, because one of the servants of the centurion was sick, paralyzed and suffered. And then he came to Jesus and said, can you help this servant? And Jesus said in verse 7, I will go and heal him. I'm going and heal him. But the centurion, the Gentile, not Israelite, he recognized that Jesus is the Lord. He's the Lord of, the Lords. He is the Lord. And if He is the Lord, and He is so powerful, He is the Creator. When Jesus said, I will go to your house and heal him, he said, no, I don't deserve that. I don't deserve that. Brother and sister, this kind of faith, knowing that, Jesus is Lord, is so important. Because when you recognize He is the Lord, what He say counts. What He say means. That is so important. Quite often, we ask Jesus, okay, you don't just say, you need to do something, prove it. Of course Jesus can do that. But where is our faith? When Jesus say in the Bible, say, go and make disciple. Not many Christians take this kind of saying seriously. When Jesus say, love one another, not many of us feel like, we need to do it. We need to make it happen. We need to follow. We need to obey. And what Jesus said is powerful. What Jesus said is His command. And then the only thing that He expect us to respond is obey. It's obey. So I told myself my Christian motto, M-T-T-O, or M-O-T-T-O, motto. I have written on my desk for years, but not now because I write into my heart. The only right that Christians have is obey. I tell myself all the time, I don't have right to ask more than that. What right do I have? He is the Lord. He said, go. Why do I need to ask a lot? Say, God, prove it. God, show me. And then if He say go, I go. God said, no, I don't mean now. He can do something and let me know that it's not now. Why do I worry about God's timing? Why do I worry about the detail that God knows I don't know? Trust Him. That is very important. That is very important. So when this centurion say to Jesus, I don't deserve it. You don't go to my house. You just say the word. My servant will be healed. And then what he say is very interesting. Matthew chapter 8, verse 9. For I myself am a man under authority. With soldiers under me, I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does this. The centurion say, Jesus, you are God. Even I'm a centurion, I told my soldier, go.
he will go. I tell him come, he will come. So why do you need to go to my house and to heal my servant? You just say, and my servant will be healed. This is powerful. This is real faith. Real faith. And knowing who is the Lord. You see, if we apply what the Bible says, the truth, into our Christian life will be totally different. Will be transformed. Why do we need to worry? Why? And Ruth saying out, you know, something I'm not sure, I didn't see, someone told me yesterday, saying that, oh, okay, you know, the water stopped coming to the dorm, to the school, and someone said, did you hear about it? I said, what's it? And they told me, I said, well, that's normal. We're normal in Africa, at least. Maybe not here. But we have been sitting, sleeping outside with our bed along the you know, pipe, you know, put our basket underneath because we don't know when the water comes. We have been sleeping like that for more than 10 years. Because sometimes the water comes in 2 a.m. when you hear the sound, and the water comes, so we start getting water. And you never know when the water will come, but it comes. Believe me. But of course, you know, to us over here, we never experience this. But it doesn't matter. You know, we just trust the Lord. Why complain about life in Africa? Just look at Africans. If they can survive, we can survive. What's the problem? And we have one God that we can trust. And He is powerful. And He is the Lord. And He knows everything. So, if He is the Lord, and Matthew chapter 8, verse 19, you know, talking about, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. This is, you know, someone want to follow Jesus. And then verse 22, and Jesus say, follow me, and let the dead bury their own dead. It's a bit difficult to explain. But, you see, Jesus is asking for a total commitment. You don't worry about. You don't have to negotiate about following Jesus. Just trust Him. Just obey Him. And see what happens. So, you know, if we can learn how to trust Him totally, that would be very beautiful. And our life will be totally different. That's so beautiful to be Christian, to be follower of Jesus, to be His children. It's so beautiful. So we need to learn how to praise the Lord. Whatever our situation is, He understands, He knows. And He will give us enough strength, you know, to face every day. So that's important. We need to trust Him. We need to know who Jesus is. And then I put, He is God. Matthew chapter 8, verse 27. He is God. You know, verse 27, the men, those basically His disciples, were amazed and asked, what kind of a man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey Him. Wow. Even the winds and the waves obey Him. I was very, simple-minded when I went to Bible school. I was young, and then I don't call myself naive, but just saying that, try to trust the Lord, whatever. And then, you know, several times, we have evangelistic, outdoor evangelistic rally, and then I was in charge for that department for 6 months for the Bible seminary. And then we have more than twice, we have outdoor kind of rally, inviting friends to come. So the weather is very important. But all the two main events, the weather was so bad that it's difficult for us to you know, expect people to come, you know. And that's so unique experience because my faith is so small. And I ask for big things. So I refuse to go out from the window to look at the sky. And I recruit people to come and pray with me, fasting. And just pray and pray before the rally starts until the end of the rally. I dare not look at the sky because my faith is small. But I ask God to perform what? To change the winds. To bring those clouds away so no rain. And one time we need to cross from Hong Kong to another island. The sea was rough. Was foggy. Cannot go through. And the ferry refused to go. And we pray and then pray, I say to God, until the ferry leaves the dock, I'm not stopping praying. So pray and pray and pray and pray. And someone say, you need to go because from where you pray, go to the dock, you still probably need another 5 minutes. If you are not going, the ferry is leaving. I mean, pray until the miracle happens. Well, we can do that, but God designed. He is God. Okay? Sometimes our prayer, you know, just God answer our prayer according to what we pray. But sometimes God has better plan. It may not happen exactly as we do. But we never doubt it, no matter what the result is. We never doubt, because we know who we are trusting. We know who is Jesus. We know the one that we are trusting in. He knows the best. Then we build our trust in Him. So, brother and sister, this is very important. We need to learn how to trust in Him totally. And then, the last thing I want to share is Matthew chapter 8, verse 32. Chapter 8, verse 32. He said to them, He is Jesus. Then, if the two persons that who were possessed by the demons. Okay, the Bible says, He said to the two people then, go. Okay, sorry. He said to them, actually, them is the devil. Okay, because the devil possesses on the two men. And when the two men say, you know, open their mouth, say, send us into the herd of pigs. Actually, the sound is from inside. Okay, so you understand. So, go. So, they came out and went into the pigs. And the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. It's very interesting. When Jesus came through, you know, Galilee, and two men were possessed by the demon, and they stay in the graveyard area. And then when they saw Jesus, they say, verse 29, what do you want with us, Son of God? They cry out, what do you want with us, Son of God? And then they request that you send us into the herd of pigs, because they were afraid that Jesus will send them into the hell. So Jesus said, okay, you can go. So they all went into the pigs. So that was the story. You know, when I was a young Christian, I love those kind of stories. I try to figure out how many pigs. Then I will calculate, you know, the value of the two men. You understand what I'm saying? If the pig is big, take one, and the whole herd may be 50 pigs, and each pig, you know, is worth $500. If you have 50 pigs, then you do calculating like, okay, how much if I sell the pigs, like 50 of them. That's quite a lot of money. When I was young, I thought, you know, I have usually have $1 to $2 in my pocket per week. So if you have, you know, it more than a few thousand dollars, that's a lot of money. So I'm asking myself, why Jesus allowed the request of the demon, saying that let them go into the pig, the whole herd of pigs. And they went into the water and all died. Just because Jesus wanted to save this two person, this poor guy, staying in the graveyard and no one loves him, everybody rejected him. Why Jesus wanted to do that? Then I realized that, what is more important? If you earn the whole world and lost your life, what is the point? Jesus knows what is the most important. He loves us. not because of who we are. A rich person, educated person, from good background, no. He loves us as who we, you know, just as it is. We praise the Lord because Jesus loves and He cares. This is His way. He is demonstrating His way all the time, without exception. So, brother and sister, every time when we come before the Lord, we ask ourselves, do we know Jesus? Do I know Jesus? And try to, you know, draw from the Bible and realize that this is the Lord that I'm trusting. If this is the Lord that I'm trusting, why do I fear? Why do I worry? Why do I, you know, just complain? Why do I, we ask ourselves, why? Why do I have a lot of worry and fear and a lot of problems that we fear that, you know, no one cares, no one understands? So knowing Jesus is the key to have a real blessed Christian life. And when we obey Him, you will see that the one that was us, trust, will lead us into our future. So brother and sister, come to church with expectation to meet Jesus this morning. To meet Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank You because of Jesus. You know, so powerful, so understanding, and all-knowing. We just want to thank You because Jesus loves us, care for us, and He knows about our future. So just help us come to church to worship You and have the desire to live for our Lord Jesus daily. Every time think about the word of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus, and decide to live for our Lord Jesus. May our, you know, Christian life, you know, bring glory to You, so that other people will know that we are Your followers. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.